Ladies and gentlemen, friends, members of the press, trustee and former board chair Tom Butch, fellow commissioners, my name is Matthew Naylor, and in addition to my role as commissioner of the United States World War I Centennial Commission, I serve as president and CEO of the National World War I Museum and Memorial, and it's my distinct honor to welcome you today to this press briefing as we prepare for the important international event in sacrifice for liberty and peace, centennial commemoration of the entry into World War I. Joining us today will be Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver by video, Commissioners Robert D'Alessandra, Dr. Monique Seyfried, and Deborah Anderson, and Kelly O'Neill Wenzel, representing Events Management Groups O'Neill Marketing and Event Management, and Susan Davis International. This ceremony is a commemoration. This national commemorative ceremony on April 6 will be held at the National World War I Museum and Memorial in Kansas City, Missouri. It is a fitting tribute that we gather here where, for over 90 years, the national and international community has gathered to honor those who served. In just 19 days, we come to this place as a nation to remember that momentous unraveling that shaped the past 100 years and honor those who served. The National Commemorative Ceremony will tell the compelling story of the United States' decision to enter the Great War. Ed Billis, director of the Center for Innovation of Arts at the Juilliard School, has provided creative direction for this project. The ceremony comprises significant and representative American writings of a century ago, including selections from speeches, journalism, literature, and poetry, as well as performances of important music at the time, presented in a unique multimedia program. Invited participants include the President of the United States, international heads of states and diplomats, military leaders, veterans organizations, and national and state elected officials. The commission was established by the World War I Centennial Commission Act, passed by the 112th Congress and signed by President Barack Obama on January 16, 2013, and is responsible for the planning, development, and executing programs, projects, and activities to commemorate the centennial of World War I. I now welcome to speak to us via video Colonel Robert D'Alessandra, Chairman of the Commission.
Hello and welcome. Thank you, Matt, and thanks to each of you for joining us either in Kansas City or remote. World War I was the war that changed the world and launched the American century. Here in America, it propelled the women's right to vote, advanced civil rights for African Americans, introduced us to the world politically and economically, and united a once fractured post-Civil War nation in a common cause. Nearly 120,000 Americans did not come home. That's more than the Vietnam conflict and the Korean War combined. Over 200,000 Americans were changed forever by their wounds. To commemorate that sacrifice and to honor their lasting legacy, the World War I Centennial Commission, in partnership with the National World War I Museum and Memorial, will host this once-in-a-lifetime event in Kansas City, Missouri, on April 6th at the World War I Memorial. I look forward to seeing each of you in person on the 6th. Thank you.
The work of creating the commission and this event started more than a decade ago by the efforts of many, including Congressman Cleaver. That initiative, as the co-sponsor of the bill, together with other valued representatives and senators who sponsored the bill that created the commission, comes from a genuine commitment to honoring the memory of our World War I veterans and the national story. As mayor of Kansas City, Congressman Cleaver worked to preserve that legacy by ensuring the restoration of this memorial. And now we prepare to welcome representatives from around the globe to join us in commemorating the entrance of the United States into World War I. Please turn your attention to the screen for a message from Congressman Emanuel Cleaver.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry that I can't be with you today to share the news about the upcoming April 6th centennial celebration of the United States' entry into World War I. This unique ceremony will not be a celebration of war, but a tribute to America's commitment to liberty and peace. It is especially meaningful that we are welcoming thousands from around the globe to join us in America's heartland at the National World War I Museum and Memorial in Kansas City, Missouri. In just over 2 weeks, representatives from dozens of foreign countries and citizens from all across our nation will stand on the same grounds as the five Supreme Allied Commanders stood in November of 1921 at the Liberty Memorial dedication. The people of Kansas City raised the necessary funds in just 10 short days to build this magnificent memorial to commemorate the impacts on our community by the Great War. With today's announcement, we invite Kansas Cityans to again join in a demonstration of appreciation for those who served this nation during World War I. When we began this quest in 2006 to create the United States World War I Centennial Commission with its mission to honor, commemorate, and educate, my thoughts were of those Kansas Cityans who had given their lives in World War I. People like the African American Private Wayne Miner and Lieutenant William Fitzgibbons. And I thought of those who have championed this cause in our community, like Ollie Gates, Anita Gorman, and Carl DiCapo, and so many more. From my days as mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, we called the downtown area our front lawn, and it has held a special meaning to me, and I am privileged to serve as honorary host of this centennial commemoration. On April 6th, please join me as we praise the moral values that led our country into battle and remember the sacrifices those brave men and women made 100 years ago. We honor them today by keeping their stories alive for future generations. Thank you very much.
Museum supporter and advocate to the memories of those who served, one of the foremost storytellers of his generation, Kevin Costner, is also a central part of this ceremony. I'm thankful for his involvement in this project, who will help narrate elements of the ceremony on April 6. Although Mr. Costner is not narrating a teaser video that we're going to show you today, we are pleased now to share with you an introductory video to give you a taste of some of the elements in the ceremony.
April 6, 1917. For 3 years, the Great War raged across the globe, bringing death, destruction, famine, disease, and displacement to peoples across Europe, Africa, and Asia, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. During these years, the United States of America remained neutral, keeping her distance from the conflicts of the Old World. 4 days earlier, on April 2nd, President Woodrow Wilson addressed a joint session of Congress. Neutrality is no longer feasible or desirable where the peace of the world is involved and the freedom of its peoples. And the menace to that peace and freedom lies in the existence of autocratic governments. We are at the beginning of an age in which it will be insisted that the same standards of conduct and of responsibility for wrong done shall be observed among nations that are observed among the individual citizens of civilized states. On April 6, 1917, 100 years ago today, The United States Congress voted to pass a declaration of war and sent it to President Woodrow Wilson for signature. But just a few months earlier, in November 1916, Wilson won his second presidential term campaigning on slogans, "He kept us out of war," and "America first." But developments in the early months of 1917 forced a reckoning, bringing the United States to a decisive moment in its history. Wilson signed the declaration when it arrived, marking the end of a heated debate over competing visions of America. Those in favor of joining the conflict believed in an outward-looking America ready to play its role in fighting for peace and order in the world. Those opposed saw only the futility of war and zealously favored an inward-looking homeland free from old-world entanglements. President Wilson's signature changed the course of history, in the world, in our nation, and in the destiny of the great mosaic of our American citizenry. Before this moment, the United States kept the rest of the world at arm's length. After, she would become a key participant in events that reshaped the old world. On this day, 100 years later, it is appropriate that we as a nation look back at that decision, hear again the voices that spoke for and against our entry into the Great War, remember the devastation and suffering inflicted by the conflict, and reflect on the war's impact on the world, our nation, our people.
Commissioner Dr. Monique Seyfried chairs the committee leading the planning of the ceremony, and it's my privilege to introduce Commissioner Dr. Monique Seyfried.
As an American citizen and a U.S. World War I Centennial Commissioner traveling the United States, I have found my fellow Americans do not know very much about World War I and the involvement of America's and its sacrifice. This memory is not forgotten in Europe, where reasons to remember World War I are plenty. It is not so far from us. My mother and my mother-in-law died last month. They were born respectively in 1914 and 1918. I had a grandfather who fought in World War I. Another one, handicapped, was a school teacher of the kind who raised their students to write Vive l'Amérique, like this wonderful exhibition that you have downstairs here in the museum. I had a great uncle who was killed, two who were gassed. On my husband's side, his grandmother was the granddaughter of Emperor Franz Joseph. She was a cousin of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, whose assassination sparked World War I. My reason for being with you today is to tell you how grateful I am, as a French-born woman, for what Americans did twice in a century to save France. While during World War II, Americans entered the war because they were attacked on their own soil, at the time of World War I, the United States entered the war for purely unselfish and idealistic reasons, for peace and democracy. These were noble reasons, and even if the peace was short and democracy failed in most of Europe, American soldiers gave their life fighting for values we still respect as highly today. We should never forget them, nor forget that nearly 20% of Americans who fought in World War I were foreign-born, and they died for the ideals they had come to find in this country. Beyond their military service and their personal sacrifice, the American people demonstrated their generosity, not only in wartime by joining the fight as volunteers, as soldiers, aviators, doctors or nurses, but also in peace, in helping rebuild the devastated regions of France and Belgium. Names like Carnegie, Mellon, Rockefeller, and many more are forever inscribed on the churches, the cathedrals, the libraries and hospitals of Eastern France, where young people today are still raised with a memory of American generosity. President Wilson's war plan was a peace plan. Even if it didn't have the expected result, it still laid the foundation for the transatlantic alliance, and it taught lessons to Americans and Europeans that allowed for a peace after World War II that has lasted until today. Let's all work to keep this peace, but also learn from the lessons of 100 years ago. Learn about the causes of the war, its consequences, and remember that much of today's conflict are rooted in World War I. Our April 6th ceremony will introduce to the American public the important debate that occupied our country for 3 years about the U.S. decision to enter World War I. We will hear the voice of those who opposed war and those who felt the United States could not remain a silent bystander in such a horrible tragedy when millions were killed. I could speak to you about the causes of World War I. I wish I would have the time to discuss its consequences, cultural, technological, medical, political, and economic. Borders were redrawn after World War I. And 100 years later are still the sources of most of the conflict. As a commissioner on the World War I Centennial Commission, I hope the April 6th commemoration of the entry of the United States in World War I will open a national awakening about what World War I was, what it meant for our country, and what we today should learn about it, not to repeat the mistake of the past. Thank you.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars is the presenting sponsor of the national ceremony in sacrifice for liberty and peace. We thank the VFW for their more than 100 years of service to veterans of this country. The Veterans of Foreign Wars work to ensure that veterans are respected for their service, always receive their earned entitlements, and are recognized for the sacrifices they and their loved ones have made on behalf of this great country. It's fitting that they respond and provide significant financial support to this event so that the nation can commemorate the United States entry into World War I. Quartermaster General and fellow Commissioner Deborah Anderson, thank you to you and the VFW for your unfailing support to our veterans and to this ceremony. And now, Quartermaster General and fellow Commissioner Deborah Anderson.
Thank you, Matt. The Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States is proud to be the presenting sponsor of this commemoration of the United States entering into the Great War. The VFW has been a strong advocate since our founding in 1899, and we have proudly supported and welcomed home every generation of service men and women who have served overseas. For nearly 118 years, the VFW has worked to ensure all who protect our country receive the recognition they deserve. And as a World War I commemorative partner, the VFW and its network of 1.7 million VFW and auxiliary members are dedicated to preserving the history and the importance of the Great War. We strongly believe that service to our country should be remembered and should be honored. And this commemorative ceremony reminds us of the voices and sacrifices of that fateful period. We are also very excited for the location that has been chosen for this event. Kansas City is the VFW's hometown. Our national headquarters is just over a mile from this location. We are pleased to be partnering with the Centennial Commission, the National World War I Museum and Memorial, the City of Kansas City, to welcome the world to our hometown. And we also appreciate the major support of local companies that have a national and international presence, and they include Kansas City Southern Railroad and Lockton Insurance. I also have the honor to announce some special guests who will be attending our ceremony. France, where most of the fighting took place, is sending a delegation headed by its Minister of Defense, Jean-Yves Le Drian, and Belgium, which suffered terribly during the war, is also sending a delegation headed by its Minister of Defense, Stephen van der Put. In addition, we currently have ambassadors from Belgium, Guatemala, Italy, Latvia, Malawi, Slovenia, and the Ukraine scheduled to participate. And the list grows every day. Here at home, our honorary host committee, comprised of Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, Senators Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt, Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver II, and Mayor Sylvester Slive James, will welcome our distinguished visitors to the ceremony. We're also pleased to note General Paul J. Selva, who is Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Kansas Governor Sam Brownback and Lieutenant Governor Jeff Collier, and relatives of World War I heroes General George S. Patton and General John J. Pershing, their relatives Helen Patton and Sandra Pershing, will be joining us for this historic occasion. The once-in-a-lifetime commemorative ceremony will commence with a flyover by the French Patrouille de France and end with a flyover by the U.S. with a B-2 bomber, as well as a cannon salute by Delta Battery, 1st Battalion, 129th Field Artillery Regiment, also known as President Truman's Field Artillery. The Commission will continue to update us as exciting additions are being announced each day. We're looking forward to your participation on April 6th here in Kansas City. Thank you.
We're fortunate that we have two outstanding events management groups assisting in this ceremony, O'Neill Marketing and Event Management and Susan Davis International. Kelly O'Neill Wenzel will now talk to us about some of the details of the day.
Thank you, Matt. The centennial commemoration of America's entry into World War I is truly an historic event for the citizens of Kansas City and are privileged and most proud to host. I want to give you an overview of the exciting, thought-provoking, and emotionally moving event that is to take place in our city on April 6th, and let our citizens and the citizens of the world know how they can participate and be a part of it all. On April 6th, the morning will begin at 9 a.m. with a prelude and a pre-ceremony that will include recorded and live performances, as well as an official opening remarks from some of our honorary hosts. At 11 a.m., the ceremony begins with a stunning multimedia production that illustrates American life circa 1917 as the horror of war unfolded on the battlefields of Europe. It will recall the impassioned arguments from our countrymen and women, both for and against becoming involved in the war that was to have ended all wars. The ceremony production will include both live and recorded musical performances by a diverse and hugely talented group, including solo R&B artists Billy Cliff and Lisa Fisher, baritone John Brancy and pianist Peter Dugan, members of the Kansas City Symphony, and lyric opera Samantha Gosard. The official commemoration, which is set to begin at 11 a.m., will include recordings of Kevin Costner and other notables reading passages from significant American writings of a century ago about the U.S. decision to enter the war, including selections from speeches, journalism, literature, and poetry, as well as performances of important music of our time. I am pleased to announce today that a limited number of tickets will be available to the public to attend the ceremony. On Thursday, March 23rd at 10 a.m., people interested in attending the ceremony can reserve up to 4 tickets through an online ticketing system on a first-come, first-served basis. The ticket link can be found on the event website. All guests, including children, must have a ticket to gain entry. All ticket holders will be required to enter National World War I Museum Memorial Grounds between the hours of 6 and 9 a.m. on Thursday, April 6th. All ticket holders will be required to pass through security screening. Security screening gates will be open at 6 a.m., and we encourage attendees to come early. This is a festival seating area, so there will not be chairs, but people can bring blankets and cushions. There will be no entry after 9 a.m. Many streets around the vicinity of the National World War I Museum and Memorial will be closed, and ticket holders are strongly encouraged to walk or use public transportation. Street closures will begin as early as 5 a.m. on April 6th, so definitely the locals will need to be aware of that. It is important to note that the event is rain or shine. However, if inclement weather prevents the outdoor portion of the ceremony from happening, the public component will be canceled. Ticket holders will be notified via email. Additional security and entry information can be found on the event website as information is continued to be finalized in the coming days. In addition to general public ticket option, live video of the ceremony will be streamed on the internet for schools, individuals, or organizations to view. The live stream link will be available on the event website. Once again, I encourage everybody to go to that website, including the press, where we'll have credentialing options under the press tab. Thank you.
Let me express my appreciation to you for being here and for this your interest in this important event. I think that we can't underestimate the significance of this moment for the United States and for the world. This commemoration has gripped the imagination of people in every continent. Every continent of the globe was swept up into this conflict. First time that had ever happened. And this commemoration since 2014 has done the same. For the United States, this really stands as a significant moment that redirected the US and birthed the American century. Thank you for your interest in this. And we look forward to the ongoing commemoration, honoring those who served and drawing lessons and understanding the enduring impact of the war whose shadow we continue to live in. We now have the opportunity for you to witness the check presentation by the VFW to the United States World War I Centennial Commission, after which there'll be an opportunity for questions and footage in the main galleries, and Mike Vietti will lead us in that. So, Monique, if you would join us, thank you.
World War I Centennial News is brought to you by the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission and the Commission's founding sponsor, the Pritzker Military Museum and Library. The video can be found at www.ccc.org/cn. Don't forget to sign up for our e-newsletter, The Weekly Dispatch. Our Twitter and Instagram handles are both at www.ccc, and we're on Facebook at www.centennial. The podcast of World War I Centennial News can be found in the iTunes store, so you can enjoy the show anytime. Just subscribe. Thank you for joining us, and don't forget to commemorate. So long.